Blog Talk Radio.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes are ripe. He has loosed his faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Of a hundred circling camps, they have built for him an altar in the eating hills and depths. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Disappointed, but we had a little bit of a hurricane. Actually, we've had two hurricanes, and the second hurricane is about to hit us on November the 6th, and that's Hurricane Benghazi. You cannot allow this man to stay in office after November the 6th. You have to chuck him. You have to chuck him. This man is responsible for abandoning troops on the battlefield. If he'll do it to two, he can do it to an entire East Coast. Get rid of him. Get rid of his generals and all the phonies that he has put in office. Whack them all. Whack them all. Stand by. We'll give you a tune and then we'll talk.
Thank you.
devastation and desolation all up and down the East Coast. The Jersey Shore took a beating. Staten Island Shore took a beating. Queens, Breezy Point took a beating. The Rockaways took a beating. Downtown New York took a beating. Battery Park. I forget which tunnel is underwater. But you can see that in 24 hours, a storm, just one storm, one major storm, can wreak havoc on 50 million people. And my thought for today is, imagine a nuclear strike. Oh, what are you talking about? Well, let me tell you something. Every time you see those Muslims, those bad Muslims, in the streets of Muslim town, shooting those AK-47s in the air with abandon, what do you think they're going to do when they get a nuke? You think they're going to say, oh no, we can only shoot the AK-47s in the air, and we can't launch any nukes? You're crazy. You've got, George Washington said it a long, long time ago, in times of peace, prepare for war. War is inevitable. It has been on this earth since the first man crushed another man's skull, since Samson killed the Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. We have been at war, and man will be at war for generations to come. The weapons just get more sophisticated. And we have better be strong, because if not, you will be weak, and the strong devour the weak very quickly. Well, I know how to reason with them. I know if we negotiated and came to the peace table. Can you sing that last verse of Kumbaya before you get your throat cut? I always do this little routine. Oh, you've come into the caravan. Welcome. Welcome to the caravan. Yes, there is safety in numbers. We are stronger together. Is that your woman? Oh, she's very beautiful. How many camels do you have? 100. We only have 20. What are you carrying for cargo? Gold, silver, silks. Silks and perfumes. Oh, a woman that beautiful would need a lot of that perfume. Yes. You know what? We're going to kill you and take everything. Yeah. You don't believe me? Get yourself a package of diamonds and go sell them door to door in a high crime area. Wake up, America. We've been lulled into. Somebody gave us a pacifier, a peace pacifier, and we've been sucking on it too long. You better get strong. You better get back up on the moon. You better get into outer space before our enemies do. Because when they're looking down on you, they're going to kill you. Oh, no, no, we could negotiate. We'll go to the UN. The UN hates your guts. We have a coalition of the willing, and they're willing to kill you, too. Yeah, there's only one person in this country that's looking out for you. And that's you. And if you're not looking, you're going to die. Hang in there. We'll give you an update on what the storm has done. One of the things I notice in this storm, we're seeing everybody running around looking for gasoline. Of course, all the politicians are out, and they're telling us all they're doing for us. Yes, Chuck Schumer has blamed this storm on global warming. Yes, and I'm on the phone with a polar bear right now. It's the last polar bear in Alaska. I don't know if you watched National Geographic on these boys in the Yukon. You know the one, the guy that opens his refrigerator and it's empty, and he takes his rifle and he gets on his snowmobile and he goes out and kills a caribou for 2.5 days worth of food, and his wife goes out in the icy waters and fishes for halibut so she can have some fish, and then they both go out hunting with shotguns waiting for the geese flying over so they can have a little goose pate. And that's how these people are surviving. And they also gather fur pelts, and that pays their way through the winter or the year. and their total income for the year is $3,000. Yes, there are a lot of people out there living off the fat of the land, and the environmentalist wants to kill them and save the teddy bear. Thank God for those environmentalists, and one of them happened to mention that this winter was the coldest winter in Alaska in 50 years, and here's a Chuck Schumer with his earmuffs and his pussycat slippers and telling everybody that global warming caused this hurricane. It's one hurricane every 100 years it comes this way. So get rid of the global warming nuts, because they're trying to take the country down. Don't trust anybody from the EPA. Close that agency. And I can't wait till November the 6th so we can fire all these communists. And that's what you got. The Democrat Party is no longer the party of Harry Truman. The Democrat Party today is the party of Joseph Stalin and Leon Trotsky. And if a guy tells you he's a Democrat, in your mind, right then and there, translate that word to communist, because that's what he is. He's a communist. And he's not, he can't be a communist. He's very well to do. One of the richest communists in Cuba is Fidel Castro. He owns all the sugar. He owns all the cigars. One of the richest communists in China is the president of China. He's worth $3 billion. One of the richest communists in Russia is Vladimir Putin, the puppet manager of Obama bin Laden. Yes, after the election, I can do more for you. I could sell out this whole country. I can give you it all. You don't even have to send troops. Let the Chinese send troops. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. You want to talk about some more rich Grey Poupon communists? Look at Hollywood. They're all communists. They haven't made a decent movie that doesn't strike down Christ, strike down the USA. Madonna just got the bum's rush. Where was she? Oh, where was she? I just read it in the paper. She was in Russia, and the Russians booed her off the stage. They told her to take the cross off and put her underwear back on. And, oh, she was down in, I think she was down in New Orleans. And she plugged Obama, and she got booed. And people walked out on her. Well, that's what happens when you have pigs in a blanket. From the great state of Pornowood. Yes, entertainment, the arts. If that's entertainment in the arts, you can stick it where the sun don't shine. So, we see the great little town, coastal town of Breezy Point. They lost 110 houses in a fire. They're so close together, and the wind was so strong. And the sad part is, they said the fire department had no water. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? How sad. But when tragedy strikes, it strikes fast and furious. Oh, speaking of fast and furious, Eric Holder's off the hook. He's out of the papers. He only murdered 70,000 Mexicans, but nobody will tell you that. Who's going to tell you that? The New York Times? The New York Times, who elected Fidel Castro? Who elected Joseph Stalin? Yeah, oh my God, the New York Times. If you read that, you're crazy. You're just going along with Soviet propaganda. Jimmy from Brooklyn says, we didn't win the Cold War. We lost the Cold War. When the wall came down, it just let the KGB into the United States quicker and faster. And Jimmy from Brooklyn says, the Institute for Policy Studies, IPS, is a KGB front group. And who are they tied to? They're tied to our president. And somebody was just reading the book, Not the Manchurian Candidate, by Aaron Klein, which you should also read. This one is Obama and the Communist Movement by Trevor Loudon. That's not the correct title, but if you Google Trevor, T-R-E-V-O-R, Loudon, Loudon. This guy's from New Zealand, and he watched his country get peacefully taken over by the communists. New Zealand is a communist country. Yeah, oh, they call themselves social democrats or something. Yeah, that's another word for communist. Progressive is another word for communist. Anything with the word peace in it is a communist movement. So, we are under siege, my friends, and this is your last chance to keep freedom alive. You have no idea how many freedoms you have lost. I got to do some research. I want to know when they got rid of the House Un-American Activities Committee. That'll tell me when we lost freedom in the United States. So I'm going to take a break. I'm going to look for it. When I come back, we'll talk about it. Hang in there. Civil War tune when Johnny comes marching home. Everybody was looking forward to Johnny coming home with both his legs and both his arms in one piece and not mentally destroyed. The left will tell you, bring the troops home, but what they're really telling you is after they lose, and we'll see to it that they lose. All of the gains made by Bush and Rumsfeld since 9/11 have been destroyed by the Obama communists. Iraq, we invested 4,500 American lives in Iraq, and the return on investment was Obama handed over Iraq to Iran. And now the Iranians rule Iran, and that's not going to last because the Sunnis aren't going to stand for it. And when no one's looking, the Sunnis will take back Iraq, and you'll have another dictator there. So Obama has destroyed any progress that we made, and he has wasted the 45 life investment that we made in Iraq. Iraq could have been a role model for democracy. The people liked what we were doing, but we didn't toe the line. And now you see on this big scandal, I call it Hurricane Benghazi, that the general in charge of North Africa has resigned today. I think his name is Ham, and it turns out he must have been a ham, because he's resigned probably on the advice of his lawyers, who probably told him, they're going to make you the scapegoat. And he said, screw that, I'll resign, I'll get my pension, and then I'll testify against them. So Obama has to pay for Benghazi. He has to pay on November the 6th. The trial will be held when you pull the curtain behind you to vote. And you must find him guilty in the first degree. If he could sit there and watch those Americans who called for help die, he deserves a traitor's firing. On November the 6th, eject that failure. because he does not have the best interest of the United States at heart. And anybody who follows him is of the same ilk. Get rid of them all. Get rid of all those czars that he put in places in high offices. Get rid of them all. It's time to clean house and Senate. Stand by. How you doing, boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. We're all trying to figure out when the USA went communist, and it looks like it happened in the 60s. The 50s was still, we were still pro-American. The 50s, I would say, right up until 59, we were still pro-American. After that, we started to drift into the world of communism. And I was trying to do some research to see what the reasons were why we went communist. And one of the thoughts that came to mind was the pill. The pill liberated women. But what I can't understand is if the pill liberated women, why are women having 3,200 abortions a day in the United States? Something doesn't add up there. What is it? To pill or not to pill? I don't understand it. Drugs. Drugs came in the 60s big time. And the communist influence was getting stronger. Jimmy from Brooklyn says Americans were deceived into believing that the Cold War was over. But the Cold War is far from over. And when the wall came down, it just let the KGB into the United States quicker and faster. So I tried to figure out when the House Un-American Activities Committee was disbanded. And they were a power in the United States for the American way. From 1945 to 1975. After 75, they were gone, and nobody was watching out for us anymore. The communists will tell you they're watching out for us. The House Committee on Un-American Activities became a standing permanent committee in 1945. Representative Ed Hart of New Jersey became the committee's first chairman. Under the mandate of Public Law 601, passed by the 79th Congress, the committee of nine representatives investigated suspected threats of subversion or propaganda that attacked the form of government guaranteed by our Constitution, and that our Constitution is attacked daily in the courts by communist judges in league with the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center, all a communist-painted organizations, tainted organizations. Under this mandate, the committee focused its investigations on real and suspected communists in positions of actual or supposed influence in the United States society. Oh, by the way, the Weinstein Organization is releasing a video or a movie praising Obama bin Laden for getting Osama bin Laden. And the Navy SEALs are quite upset about it. And the Navy SEALs went up on a Facebook and pitched a complaint to the American people that what Weinstein was doing and what Obama was doing was degrading to the image of the Navy SEALs. And Facebook took it down. So, in case you ever wondered if you are under communist rule, you are. The question is, which rule applies to you? A significant step for the House Un-American Activities Committee was its investigation of the charges of espionage brought against Alger Hiss in 1948. This investigation ultimately resulted in Hiss's trial and conviction for perjury and convinced many of the usefulness of congressional committees for uncovering communist subversion, which to this day is stronger than ever before. And you don't know it, and you just graduated from a communist college, and you don't know that you are a clone.
No, I'm not. I'm a free thinker.
Hollywood Blacklist. In 1947, the committee held 9 days of hearings into alleged communist propaganda and influence in the Hollywood motion picture industry. After conviction on contempt of Congress charges for refusal to answer some questions posed by committee members, the Hollywood Ten were blacklisted by the industry. Eventually, more than 300 artists, including directors, radio commentators, and as I'm talking, there are directors and radio commentators coming to mind that could fit this bracket, actors, and particularly screenwriters, the most dangerous of them all, the guys, the writers behind the scenes, were boycotted by the studios. Some, like Charlie Chaplin and Yip Harburg, left the U.S. or went underground to find work. Others wrote under pseudonyms or the names of colleagues. Only about 10% succeeded in rebuilding careers with the entertainment industry. In 1947, a studio executive told the committee that wartime films such as Mission to Moscow, The North Star, and Song of Russia could be considered pro-Soviet propaganda, but claimed that the films were valuable in the context of the Allied war effort, and that they were made, in the case of Mission to Moscow, at the request of White House officials, who were probably communists too. In response to the House investigations, most studios then produced a number of anti-communist and anti-Soviet propaganda films, such as John Wayne's Big Jim McLean. I never saw that. I gotta see that. And Guilty of Treason. About the ordeal and trial of Cardinal Joseph Minzenti. I remember him. He was in he was in Hungary, and boy, the Soviets tortured him. They made him say things under duress. Soviets were cruel, man, and they're still cruel. The Red Menace, the Red Danube, I married a communist, Red Planet Mars, and I was a communist for the FBI, which was nominated for an Academy Award for the Best Documentary in 1951. And also serialized for radio, Universal International Pictures was the only major studio that did not produce such a film. Then along comes Whittaker Chambers and Alger Hiss. In late July 1948, the committee heard testimony from Elizabeth Bentley, an American who had been working as a Soviet agent in New York. Among those whom she named as communists were Harry Dexter White and Whittaker Chambers. The committee subpoenaed Chambers for early August of 1948. Chambers, too, was a former Soviet spy, and by then he was the foreign desk editor of Time magazine. Leopards never change their spots. They just get more sophisticated. Chambers cited the names of more than a half dozen government officials, including White, as well as Alger Hiss and Hiss's brother Donald. The majority of these former officials refused to answer a committee of questions, citing the Fifth Amendment. White denied the allegations and died of a heart attack a few days later. Alger Hiss also denied all charges. However, during his testimony, Hiss made a number of false statements for which he was later convicted of perjury and imprisoned. The present-day House of Representatives website on House Un-American Activities Committee states that in the 1990s, Soviet archives conclusively revealed that Hiss had been a spy on the Kremlin's payroll. Imagine taking money from the Soviets to betray your country. Well, it wasn't his country. That's his excuse. It's not my country. I only live off it. And then comes the decline of the House Un-American Activities Committee. In the wake of Senator Joseph McCarthy's downfall, the prestige of HUAC began a gradual decline. Beginning in the late 50s, by 1959, the committee was being denounced by former President Harry Truman as the most un-American thing in our country today. In May 1960, the committee held hearings in San Francisco City Hall that led to the infamous riot on May 13th when city police officers fire-hosed protesting students from UC Berkeley and Stanford and the most other local colleges, and then dragged them down the marble steps beneath the rotunda, leaving some seriously injured. Oh my. Did they fight in the war too? Soviet affairs expert William Mandel, who had been subpoenaed to testify, angrily denounced the committee and the police in a blistering statement, which was aired repeatedly for years thereafter on Pacifica radio station KPFA in Berkeley. An anti-communist propaganda film, Operation Abolition, was produced by the committee from subpoenaed local news reports and shown around the country during 60 and 61. In response, the Northern California ACLU produced a film called Operation Correction, which discussed falsehoods in the first film. Scenes from the hearings and protests were later featured in an award-winning 1990 documentary, Berkeley in the 60s. Yes, the 60s was when we lost our country, my friends. And all the people in the 60s are now in positions of power and are pulling strings. The committee lost considerable prestige as the 60s progressed. No, America lost its freedom as the 60s progressed, increasingly becoming the target of political satirists Those are communists with a sense of humor that draws laughs from other communists. And they always hide under the guise they're a comedian. And the defiance of a new generation of political activists. Beware of the word activist, especially when the word community is attached to it. HUAC subpoenaed Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman of the Yippies in 1967. Those are great Poupon communists. They have estates. And again in the aftermath of the 1968 Democratic National Convention. That's when they seized power from the Democrats. The Yippies used the media attention to make a mockery of the proceedings. Rubin came to one session dressed as a United States Revolutionary War soldier and passed out copies of the U.S. Declaration of Independence to people in attendance. And then he blew giant bubblegum bubbles while his witnesses taunted the committee with Nazi salutes. Hoffman attended a session dressed as Santa Claus. And on one occasion, police stopped Hoffman at the building entrance and arrested him for wearing a U.S. flag. And Hoffman quipped to the press, "I regret that I have but one shirt to give for my country," paraphrasing the last words of revolutionary patriot Nathan Hale, who died at 21, who wanted to become a minister, but his country called for him to risk more. And he did, and he died without regret, 21 years old. And he said, "I regret that I have but one life to give for my country." And he was allowed to write his mother a letter, which the provost, after he was hanged, tore up and said, "No one should know of this man's bravery." And he was denied a Bible. So, when you think of Nathan Hale, do not think of communist slime. You think of red, white, and blue. Real Americans. Those who sacrifice everything. Like that less than 1% who are fighting for you so you can sleep good tonight. And you don't have to worry about Hurricane Benghazi. Rubin, who was also wearing a matching Viet Cong flag, shouted that the police were communists for not arresting him also. According to the Harvard Crimson, in the 50s, the most effective sanction was terror. Almost any publicity from the House Un-American Activities Committee meant the blacklist. Without a chance to clear his name, a witness would suddenly find himself without friends and without a job. Let me tell you, if you find yourself without friends and without a job, you never had friends, because friends don't abandon friends. Only communists do. Witnesses like Jerry Rubin have openly boasted of their contempt for American institutions. A subpoena from HUAC would be unlikely to scandalize Abby Hoffman or his friends. In an attempt to reinvent itself, that means they gave in, to the communists, the committee was renamed to the Internal Security Committee in 1969, but it was abolished in 1975, transferring its functions to the House Judiciary Committee. It's probably controlled by communists today. Some of the people of interest that were on the committees, was a notable member was Richard Nixon, and the communists hated him. I think he got Alger Hiss. He's the guy that got Alger Hiss, and that's what Nixon was famous for, and that's why he got elected as president, because he was staunchly anti-communist. Also on there was Bobby Kennedy, but probably more for publicity. And when things went well, Bobby jumped ship. Didn't go well. The members during the 1947 Hollywood 10, with J. Parnell Thomas in New Jersey, Nixon from California. So that's why the media always hated Nixon. It had nothing to do with Watergate. They didn't like him because he nailed one of their brethren. So that's the story on the House Un-American Activities Committee. And if it was active today, you would see a lot of Hollywood stars being asked once again to testify. And you'd also be seeing senators and congressmen are being called. Because according to Alan West, there's at least 70 communists in the Congress. And you know what? He's right. And they're listed in pages, in websites belonging to communist organizations. As a matter of fact, I just learned of one today. Charlie Rangel is a communist. Did you know that? It's in a book by a guy named Trevor Loudon. And you can't find his name in the index, so you got to go page by page for Charles Rangel. But he's there. He's there. So, now, how far down the road are we? I would say when Bush got elected in 2000, the 51% of America was still American and 49% was communist. When Obama got elected, that number switched. 51% of America was communist, or 49% was American. Now we're going to find out in less than a week, where we stand today. If Obama wins, the communists win, we're in trouble, and revolution is on the way. If Romney wins, we can be saved, and we will have snatched communist victory from the jaws of death. So, let's say a little prayer for our country and hope that God sends us a dimpled chance. In 1962, a woman from Florida presented a list of the 45 goals of the Communist Party into the congressional record. It was read into the congressional record. And if you Google the 45 goals of the Communist Party, you will, much to your chagrin, find out that they've reached them all. And the UN is their tool for the New World Order and the domination and subjugation of American patriotism. That's their number one enemy. And spirituality is their number two enemy, and morality is their number three enemy. But all 45 goals have been met. And that's how you can check it out. 45 goals of the Communist Party. Google it. Compare notes. And just see how far down the road we are to losing our freedoms and losing our sovereignty, which is something that nobody should be allowed to take away from us. Too many people bled so that we could call ourselves Americans. But we've allowed ourselves to be overrun by people who do not like us. And now they're telling us what we can do and what we can't do. And they're taking over our country. And one day, we're going to have to rise up. 51 to 49 or not. We're going to have to rise up. So put your faith in the resurrection. And never forget, the American creed is the strong must always protect the weak. God bless America. Next tune is dedicated to all the GIs in Afghanistan. And I'd hate to be the last 10 guys out of that place. Obama has set you up for a run out. And every Taliban, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, and his mother are going to be there to see to it that you don't make it. It's going to be the Mogadishu Mile all over again. This president has no idea how to win a war. And he's already lost Iraq to Iran. He's already lost Egypt to the party of death. He's already lost Syria to Russia. This man has no idea what he's doing. He's living on his peace words, and peace don't cut it. So may God protect you and get you home safely. This tune is for you. Oh, by the way, his number 2 general resigned today. Years ahead of his retirement, General Ham has resigned. And that's because it is Benghazi cover-up. And I tell you something, we're not going to like what we learn. And we're not going to believe it because we're too stupid. We're not going to believe how bad this guy performed. We're going to refuse to accept it. And as a result, more GIs are going to die. Unbelievable. And all you can hear is the communists shouting, bring the troops home. But what they're not finishing the sentence. What they really mean is bring the troops home in body bags. Because they don't want to see you win. The anti-war crowd, there's no such thing. It's the anti-win crowd. Any country but America is their slogan. They were bred to hate their own country.
Over the mountain, across the sea, there's a girl waiting for me. Cross all the river, beyond every cloud, she's past the wind, blowing loud. Over the mountain, a girl
We got 2 minutes left. Okay. We'll give you a little seesaw on the way out.
Your love is like a seesaw, baby.
Seesaw.
love like a seesaw, baby. First it's up and then it's down. It changes so fast, never hits the ground. It goes up, down, and up like a seesaw, baby. When you said you'd be my baby, change your mind.
Friday,
it's the day we make up.
Well,
the day we break up.
Monday,
things are going all right.
Monday,
you want to start a fight.
Your love
like a seesaw, baby.
Seesaw.
Well, love, your love is a seesaw, baby.
Seesaw.
First you're glad and then you're mad. You're the strangest girl I ever had. Goes up, down, and up. I like a seesaw, baby. Up, down.